This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Retired educator Eric Molenauer will discuss reconnecting with nature in a digital world tomorrow night in South Haven. Coming up, WMUK's Andy Robbins talks with Molenauer about what we're missing outdoors while we're inside looking at our mobile phones. But first, Waukesha, Wisconsin now has the blessing of Great Lakes governors to withdraw water from Lake Michigan. The unanimous vote last week will allow Waukesha to remove 8.2 million gallons of water a day. Great Lakes Echo commentator Gary Wilson has been following this story. He was there for the final vote. Gary Wilson, thank you very much for being with us.
Gordon, good morning.
So explain, you have said before that you thought the governors pretty much had to approve Waukesha's request. How come?
The process that they went through, Gordon, the eight Great Lakes states with two Canadian provinces advising them, but the Canadian provinces not having a vote at the end. The process was one of the best that I've seen done on any Great Lakes issues. It was rigorous. They challenged Waukesha and the state of Wisconsin, who was sponsoring Waukesha's request on every point. As I watched the meetings unfold over the course of 2 months, where they were reviewing, the eight states were reviewing Waukesha's request, they went into extreme detail on every paragraph, every point. There was a rigorous analysis. There was a strong discussion of all the issues. Waukesha and the state of Wisconsin were collaborative along the way. They defended their position. They just didn't roll over every time a state raised a question, as they shouldn't have. But they were also working in a collaborative manner. And, you know, Michigan's Grant Trigger, who was representing the state, representing the governor on the Office of the Great Lakes under John Allen, he was brought a tremendous amount of analysis and expertise to the issue. And I was just very impressed by the process. Whether you agree with the decision or not, the process had validity.
So what are the safeguards in place now to make sure that, for instance, the water taken does get put back into the lake?
That's a great question, Gordon. And right up until the last day, the day that the governors voted, and right up until the last minute, there was discussion about enforcement. That was one of the biggest concerns as the states were. The evidence was there and the sentiment was there to approve Waukesha's request. But there was a lot of concern, especially expressed by Minnesota and Michigan about enforcement of the provisions of the agreement. You know, we've all seen laws passed and, you know, press releases go out, you know, some state or some agency is going to do this. And then when it comes to enforcement, you know, the people responsible are lax. And the states wanted to make sure this didn't happen. So right up, literally at the last minute, they were reinforcing the enforcement provisions of the compact. And Kathy Stepp, who heads up the Wisconsin DNR, had not been participating in this process, made an appearance. And she read a statement for the record that the state of Wisconsin would be enforcing the provisions. And that was the last hurdle before the vote.
So 8.2 million gallons of water a day is what Waukesha can take out of Lake Michigan. To a lot of us, anything when you say millions sounds like an awful lot. But is that a lot of water that we're talking about for the circumstances here?
It is not. And I would note, Gordon, that the Waukesha, over the course of this process, reduced their request, and right at, again, during that last two-month period, from 10.1 to 8.2 million gallons per day. Just as a raw number, it is incredibly small when you compare it to the quantity in Lake Michigan or the Great Lakes. And a provision of the agreement is that it has to be returned. Waukesha will be returning all that they take back to Lake Michigan as treated wastewater. So everybody's sensitive to water leaving the Great Lakes on a diversion, but that's one of the good parts of the compact. It requires it to be returned.
So Governor Rick Snyder said that there were tight conditions in place here on the Waukesha request, that he felt comfortable being one of those governors who gave his vote. Of course, it had to be unanimous from the Great Lakes governors. Would you agree with that? Are there tight conditions in place that set a precedent here that says that, yes, we're going to look at requests for water withdrawals and consider them carefully, but it is by no means a guarantee that the next city that makes a request is going to get approval.
I do agree with the governor, and I would point out that while there were 8 states in the decision process, plus the 2 Canadian provinces advising, it was clear as I watched these meetings unfold that Michigan was the de facto leader of the process. Grant Trigger, again from the Office of the Great Lakes, was Michigan's representative. And the restrictions, they really set the bar high when they made this decision, because it is the first one, and they wanted to try to get it right. So even the folks who were against this this decision, after a day or two to reflect on it, and I'm talking mainly environmental groups, they came out with statements that were more circumspect, and said that the bar had been set high for any future cities that want to try to get Great Lakes water.
Why do you think it is the case that Michigan's officials here ended up kind of being in the lead on this vote?
Well, Michigan is the Great Lakes state, which everybody knows, and you know we all kind of take it for granted sometimes. But when you look at a map of Michigan, it's surrounded by the Great Lakes. But going way back to about 2014, Governor Snyder decided to assert himself a bit as a leader on Great Lakes issues with the governors of the region. They had been fairly dormant as a group on tackling Great Lakes issues. Governor Snyder reassembled them on Mackinac Island, and he's had some success in getting them to engage, not as much as he would like. But watching these meetings, it was clear that the other states were looking to Michigan. Now, that doesn't mean that they just rolled over and kind of went through the motions. Minnesota and New York representatives were particularly engaged, and they appeared to be working closely with Michigan. The other states, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, they sat back a little bit and just kind of waited for Michigan and New York and Minnesota to take the lead. So it's a credit to Michigan. Michigan's got a lot of water problems recently. I don't have to remind anybody about Flint and our looming issues with that Straits of Mackinac pipeline. But Michigan can be proud of the way it handled itself in this Waukesha question.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're talking with Great Lakes Echo commentator Gary Wilson about the decision to allow Waukesha, Wisconsin to withdraw water from Lake Michigan. In audio provided by Western Michigan University, environmental and sustainability studies professor Dan McFarlane says that Waukesha should have looked at other options before asking to withdraw water from the Great Lakes.
I'm not sure that Waukesha has actually gone through all the steps necessary to get Great Lakes water. It hasn't. It could probably be better treating its own water that it has, water recycling, things like that, looking at other alternatives first. So it's kind of got this mindset of let's go with what's cheapest and easiest rather than what's most sustainable. So I'm a little worried it would create a precedent, again, not necessarily for diverting water to Colorado or something like that, but just a commodification and unsustainable use of Great Lakes water.
So Gary Wilson, what about that? Is there some risk here that a precedent has been set because Waukesha did have some other options that were not fully explored?
Well, the other options I would have to disagree with the professor. The other options were explored in detail, but it's a good question and an appropriate one, and the most common question that is asked. The reason why Waukesha needs to get water from a different source is because their wells are contaminated with radium, a naturally occurring substance, and they're under a court order to find a new source. As the Compact Council, these are the governors and their representatives, went through their review process, they made a determination that removing and treating the radium was just not sustainable over the long term. Once you remove radium, you have to do something with it. So you're transferring the problem to someone else. And in the end, and this got a lot of discussion, the Canadian provinces were particularly keen on this. But in the end, it was just not seen as a sustainable process over time. And the New York representative told me that their goal was to meet the goal of the compact, and this especially relates to the options alternatives, but be able to provide Waukesha with water for the long term. And just removing the radium would not accomplish that.
When you last wrote about this issue for Great Lakes Echo in June 7th, you said, Waukesha approved, declare victory, and move on. At the end of the day, do you think that is what ultimately happened here?
Well, this will sound self-serving, but I think that is what happened. This was, it was an intense process, but there's an important issue here, and that is regional collaboration and presenting a united front to the rest of to towns that are around the region that may be considering, like Waukesha, wanting to make a request for water. But the far-flung regions of the country that everybody is fearful of, Arizona, California, other water-needy regions, that we have this process for managing the Great Lakes. This is the first test of it. It works. So if you're coming here to look for water, you better have done your homework and you better have a good reason. You better be prepared to go through about a five-year process, which is what it took Waukesha, and spend a lot of money. So I think it's important for the region to unite and send that message. That's why I didn't want to see a lot of picking at the fringes. The Great Lakes Compact, like most deals, is a compromise, and it's easy to pick at some of the fine points, but that doesn't serve the region well.
So just looking ahead, what do you think will happen the next time that there is a city that comes forward? Or I guess maybe the more important question to ask is, did this set a precedent in such a way that other cities may be less likely to come forward, that they may look at other ways to try and address a water problem because the process that has happened here did take such a long time, even if it did ultimately result in Waukesha getting their request approved?
Well, I think that any city or any region that wants to look at Great Lakes water really needs to look at this Waukesha process. 5 years was the formal part of the process. From the time Waukesha made its first application, they had been working on this for another 5 years or longer prior to even making the formal application. Waukesha has to go out now and build a $200 million pipeline to return the water, to get water and return it back to Lake Michigan. Waukesha spent, somebody can fact check me on this, but I think it was about $5 million on consultants and lawyers. So any city that wants to go through this process, better to call a timeout and take a deep breath, because it's going to be expensive and it's going to take time. So that's going to force these other folks to really look at the alternatives. And you could spend all that time and money and at the end be told no. It really did just take one governor to say no. I would be cautious if I was another city before I made an application.
Gary Wilson, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Gary Wilson writes the Chicago View column for Great Lakes Echo.